الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ونبينا محمد إمام الخير وقائد الخير ورسول الرحمة، وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، the chairman of the occasion, our elder brother Sheikh Talahu Gentleman Abu Bakr, and the imam of this university, the Madh Hakim Zardaw Alhaji Munir Jafaru, our board member of Al Furqan Charitable Organization, Charitable Foundation, the Amir of the Muslim Forum, Professor Ahmed Bella Dogarawa, the Amira of the Muslim Forum, Pharmacist Binta Aminu Dorai, the eminent dignitaries here present with us, and the distinguished brothers and sisters that are here with us for this pre-Ramadan lecture organized by the Muslim Forum of Ahmed Bella University, Zaria. As the chairman said, this is a homecoming to me, and I am very thankful to Allah and highly pleased to come to be here, because I consider this university as one of the institutions that have contributed immensely in shaping my personality and in also determining the path that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has destined for me to follow in my life. I came into this university when I was only 17 years old, and right from the time I came, I was with the Muslim Student Society, which was very, very active at that time. And that, alhamdulillah, gave me a choice of the path that I was going to follow, which is the path of calling to Allah and helping His cause. So I feel highly indebted to this institution, because at the time when the institution of religion in the country were very weak as they relate to people who were in their youthful state, alhamdulillah, this university and the pioneers of Islamic work did a lot in bringing like minds together to work for the deen of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So indeed, while there were people who only discovered Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala and working for His cause at the later part of their life, this institution, it provided an opportunity for people, for young minds, to discover their Lord and to realize the purpose of their life at the most critical stage of their existence, which is the stage of youth. You know, we only had besides the mosque, the central mosque, there was the Sulaiman Mosque, the mosque in Sulaiman Hall, But the other mosque, they were just stones that were carved, musallayat. But despite that, they used to be filled up. And there are so many challenges, but alhamdulillah, this university stood apart by its activism and its commitment, the commitment of the Muslim students in this university. I took this time to just share this memory because it's a kind of nostalgia coming here and remembering all the events that shape what somebody has become in life. Alhamdulillah, awwalan wa akhiran. And we ask Allah tabarak wa ta'ala to give us a good ending in this world. I'm happy to be invited this year again, despite the fact that last year I gave my an excuse. So I feel happy that I'm invited again to speak in this pre-Ramadan lecture, which is an annual event. And this kind of event, you know, is an event that has its roots in the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because it was the practice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to welcome the month of Ramadan to the companions and to give them the glad tidings of the coming of the month of Ramadan. And it has become the basis for giving welcoming remarks on the commencement of seasons of goodness, at-tahmi'ah, that is good greeting of the arrival of important events. So this kind of activity, it is firmly rooted in the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as it says in the hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu wa arda, in the Sunan of Abu Dawud and Tirmidhi. كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يبشر أصحابه برمضان يقول أتاكم شهر رمضان شهر الرحمة شهر تفتح فيه أبواب الجنة وتغلق فيه أبواب النار وتصفد فيه الشياطين فيه ليلة خير من ألف شهر من حرم خيرها فهو محروم فهو المحروم. He said, Abu Huraira رضي الله عنه, he said the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم used to give glad tidings to the companions, to his companions. He used to say, the month of Ramadan has come to you. The month of mercy, the month during which the gates of paradise are open and the doors of hellfire are closed, and the evil devils are locked up. And in that month there is a night which is better than 1,000 months. Whoever is deprived or denied of the good, whoever is denied of the good of that night, he is the one who has indeed been denied. Ibn Rajab says this is the basis for at-tahmi'ah. I'm repeating myself here. It's the basis for welcoming greetings that is spread among people on the arrival of important occasions in life. So it is indeed a great event that we should be happy, because you give glad tidings to make people happy and to bring their inner strength to them so that they enter into a season of excellence and derive the maximum of benefit in that season. That is the essence of the tahniyah, of welcoming these kind of occasions. And definitely Ramadan is special in our life. You know, everything about Islam is very special, because when you look at the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam of 23 years after prophethood, a life of full of blessing. Even his gaze, when he looks at something, that becomes an institution. Not talk less of when he speaks, talk less of when he acts, because he is indeed the finality of prophethood, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Allah has created so many institutions for us with the short life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam during his prophethood, the 23 years that he spent. Because Allah, in His extreme wisdom, His infinite wisdom, He has decreed so many things for us, for our good and for our perfection, to make us the best of communities. As He said, "Kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrijat linnas." You are the best of communities that has been brought forth for mankind. And one of those institutions is the institution of Ramadan. Ramadan, even though the name did exist before Islam, it was called Ramadan, even with the even in Jahiliyyah period. But then it was given special position with the coming of Islam, because it is the only month that is mentioned by name in the Quran. Allah says, شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن. The month of Ramadan in which the Quran was revealed. So it is a significant time of the year. And Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has a sunnah. He has a custom. The custom of Allah is that He chooses times and places for a reason. وَرَبُّكَ يَخْلُقُ مَا يَشَاءُ وَيَخْتَارُ. Your Lord, He creates what He will, and He makes choices. The essence of making choices is to direct us to what we would not have achieved without those choices that Allah has made. When Allah chooses a time or a place, it is for us to benefit from the immense blessings and mercies that He places therein. So many people, on account of the mercy and the blessings that Allah has placed in special times and special places, they gain entry into the circle of the pleasure of Allah that makes them upright for the rest of their life, and they become highly important people in the sight of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. This is on account of nafahatullah, the breezes of the mercy of Allah. These times that Allah chooses, they are times during which the breezes of mercy of Allah come. And Allah loves those who expose themselves to getting the benefit of those breezes. Now Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, he chooses times and places so that he will show His mercy to us And he loves that we expose ourselves to his mercy during those times. Because the blessings of Allah, they come during the times of excellence. So Ramadan is one of those. That is why it is said that the nights of Ramadan are the best nights of the year. And the night, especially the last 10 nights of Ramadan, they are the best nights of the year. And the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah, they are the best days of the year. And Allah in His wisdom, He makes Ramadan a lunar month, not a solar month, so that it will move round with the seasons. It will move round with the seasons. So it is not it is not synonymous with a peculiar season. You know, the Christmas, you always witness Christmas during the winter. And the symbol of Christmas, especially in temperate climate, is snow, because they tied it to the solar calendar. But Allah in His wisdom, He made Ramadan a lunar month, so that it will move with the seasons. And it is not the season that will identify what is Ramadan. It is the sighting of the moon that will identify it, and the knowledge that this is Ramadan. So you don't realize when it is Ramadan by the coming of a season, by the coming of winter or autumn or spring or summer. No, you know that Ramadan has come by knowledge, by an inner knowledge, that you have looked for the moon, and you have sighted it, and you realize this is Ramadan. So it is a realization. It is a gnosis. You know, you achieve the knowledge. So you have to find out, and you have to know. Time the ummah to knowledge. And it is in Ramadan that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala makes favors that He has never made the similar of such a favor, and which was reflected in what Allah has said, شَهْرُ رَمَضَانَ الَّذِي أُنْزِلَ فِيهِ الْقُرْآنِ, the month of Ramadan, the month during which the Quran was revealed. And that is the greatest favor of Allah, the revelation of the Quran, the book that falsehood does not come to it from behind it or from beyond it. It is a revelation that has been protected, and there is no protected revelation from Allah except it. So it is indeed significant, the book by which the whole of mankind, they are brought from darkness to light, from destruction to salvation. So it is indeed a great favor. So Ramadan is indeed highly significant. So we should welcome it as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to welcome it. And in welcoming Ramadan, we reflect upon the various dimensions that are there in Ramadan, which this lecture demands that we explore those dimensions. Here, three dimensions have been mentioned: the spiritual, the social, and human dimensions. You see, before I go into that, I want to mention one other significant thing, which is that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, He has made the religion of Islam the epitome, the perfection of the series of guidance that He has been revealing across human history. Prophets of Allah have come one after the other, and the perfection of the mercy of Allah came with the final prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the preservation of the true legacy of all the prophets is perfected in what was revealed to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is why Allah said, يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ لِيُبَيِّنَ لَكُمْ وَيَهْدِيَكُمْ سُنَنَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ وَيَتُوبَ عَلَيْكُمْ وَاللَّهُ عَلِيمُ الْحَكِيمُ. Allah wills to explain to you and to guide you to the paths of those who have preceded before you and to accept your repentance. So here he said, وَيَهْدِيَكُمْ سُنَنَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ, to guide you to the ways of those who have preceded before you. Now take for instance the institution of Hajj. All prophets of Allah have done the Hajj to the house of Allah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was going for Hajj, he said, what valley is this? And they named him, they said, this is the valley of so and so. I've forgotten the name. And he said, as though I could see, I could visualize the Prophet of Allah, Musa alayhi salam, passing through this valley, raising his voice with Labbaik Allahumma Labbaik. And he came to another place and he said, what is this place? And they mentioned to him. He said, as though I could visualize the Prophet of Allah, Yunus, riding a camel, the reins of which are from the leaves of the palm tree, passing by this place to heading to the house of Allah. And now, who are the communities? Who are the followers of any religion that are doing the Hajj, if not the Muslims? Because the Hajj was an institution that preceded Islam, because the Kaaba itself was built by Ibrahim and Ismail. So the true legacy of all the prophets is in the Muslims, is with the Muslims. Sarah, the wife of Ibrahim alayhi salam, and the mother of Ishaq, so the mother of all the 12 tribes of Israel, the true Israelis, not the Ashkenazi, you know this, Netanyahu and the rest, they are not Banu Israel. They are Ashkenazi, the Ashkenazi Jews, they are Khazars, they are Slavs, they are not Semitic. But Sarah, you know, the mother of Ishaq, when she was threatened by the Pharaoh, by the king of Egypt at that time, who was a tyrant and snatching away beautiful women from their husbands, when he was told about her, and Ibrahim alayhi salam, he told her, he said, when you go to this man, don't tell him that you are my wife. Tell him that you are my sister. And you are truly my sister, because there is no other person that is worshiping Allah except me and you. So we are brothers and sisters in faith. So tell him you are my sister. When he entered to her, she performed ablution and she prayed 2 rak'ahs. And when he stretched his hand to touch her, his hand became paralyzed. He did that 3 times. And in the end, he said, you brought a devil to me, take her away. And he gave her the gift of Hajar as a slave girl. So you see, this is a practice which we are the ones that have it, the institution of Salah. It existed. So the same thing with the institution of fasting. We are the ones that are doing the true fast of the prophets before us. As Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala said in the verse, يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم. O you who believe, fasting has been ordained on you as it was ordained on those who had gone before you. So this is the this feeling that we are on something which prophets and salihin have been on it from primordial time. It gives us a feeling of belonging, a feeling of belonging to a community that goes beyond time, that goes beyond generations, and that connects us to feel that we are indeed connected to the people of goodness, the people that have brought light to this world, the people that have illuminated this world, not the agents of darkness, but the agents of light. This feeling is one of the wisdoms by which Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala reminds us that this institution of fasting that we have, it was ordained on those who were before us, so that we feel connected to them. And this is one of the dimensions that we will mention regarding the spiritual dimension of fasting. The feeling that we belong to one community with one God, and this community is joined together by these actions, that is a feeling of satisfaction, a feeling that you belong to a community of goodness, to a community, to a good community, not a community of darkness. So this the institution that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has created for us in the month of Ramadan has got several dimensions. The spiritual dimension is to build us spiritually, because we are not just body that we need to eat and drink and have shahawat, but we have an innate nature. We have a spirit, the reality and the true nature of which only Allah knows. Only Allah knows the nature of the soul. Only Allah knows the nature of the soul. It's not subject to physical or chemical laws. It is something which is only known to Allah. And Allah has shown to, Allah has made us to lose hope in ever knowing the true nature of the soul. Because as it says in Surah Al-Isra, وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الرُّوحِ قُلِ الرُّوحُ مِنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّي. They will ask you regarding the spirit, the ruh, the soul. Say, the soul is of the affair of my Lord. Only Allah knows the true nature of the soul. But we all experience it. We all know we have a soul. Even the physicists, they accept that there is soul. But then they, because of arrogance, they can't say they don't know anything about it. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, in as much as he shows us the way to take care of our body, he shows us the way to take care of our souls. Allah says, وَنَفْسٍ وَمَا سَوَّاهَا. He swore by the soul and what made it upright. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا. The one who has purified it, he has indeed prospered. وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. And the one who had destroyed it, he is indeed the one who is wretched. So there is the nafs, and it is cleansed. It is cleansed. It is maintained, and it is given nutrition, just like the body is given nutrients. There are nutrients of the soul, and one of the nutrients of the soul is through the institution that is in the month of Ramadan, the institution of fasting. So the first spiritual dimension of fasting The second spiritual dimension of fasting is the purification of the soul through taqwa. Because Allah says, كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. Fasting was ordained on you, and it's as it was ordained on those before you, so that you may have taqwa. Taqwa is the fear of Allah. It is translated as the fear of Allah. It is taken from the word wiqaya, which is protection. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, when explaining taqwa, he said, have you followed a path that is full of thorns? And they said, yes. He said, how do you do? He said, I drew my cloth to me so that I'm not pricked by the thorn, nor is my cloth torn by the thorn. He said, then that is taqwa. That if you are careful so that you protect yourself by moving through the path of life carefully, trying to avoid anything that will make you fall into danger. That is the meaning of at-taqwa. In this beautiful similitude that Sayyidina Umar explained. So taqwa is from wiqaya, protection. And Allah says he ordained fasting on us so that we may attain taqwa, which means that this is an ibadah which is a means to something that is higher. It's a means to a goal. It is not the goal in itself, but it is a means to a goal. That is why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, مَنْ لَمْ يَدَعَ قَوْلَ الزُّورَ وَالْأَمَلَ بِهِ وَالْجَهَلَ فَلَيْسَ لِلَّهِ حَاجَةٌ فِي أَنْ يَدَعَ طَعَامَهُ وَشَرَابَهُ. That is, whoever does not turn away from acts of azur, acts of falsehood, statements of falsehood and acting upon falsehood and acts of foolishness, then Allah has got no need for him to leave, to turn away from his from eating and drinking. So it is not eating and drinking that is the goal, but it is what is attained through the avenue of eating, doing away with eating and drinking. So taqwa is so important that a whole institution has been ordained for it, which is the institution of Ramadan. Because taqwa, it is the thing that takes most, it is the thing that is the most of all things that make people enter paradise. You can see in the Quran, إِنَّ الْمُتَّقِينَ فِي جَنَّاتٍ وَعُيُونٍ إِنَّ الْمُتَّقِينَ فِي جَنَّاتٍ وَنَعِيمٍ إِنَّ الْمُتَّقِينَ فِي ظِلَالٍ وَعُيُونٍ وَلِمَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ جَنَّتَانِ. The verses of the Quran regarding the position of taqwa as being the major element that makes people enter paradise are so numerous. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was asked, what is the thing that takes people most to paradise? And he said, taqwa Allah wa husnul khuluq. Taqwa Allah wa husnul khuluq. Fear of Allah, taqwa of Allah, and good behavior. And both of these, they are institutions that are attained during the month of Ramadan. So taqwa is so important that we need to be trained in order to acquire it. And that is what the institution of fasting does. How does fasting do that? You are leaving what is permissible for you. It is permissible for you to eat and drink and to have a conjugal relations with your spouse. It is permissible. But then you abstain from it. So this shows to you that if you are capable of doing, of living what is permissible for you, then you are more capable of living what is impermissible for you. That is why when the verses of fasting were mentioned, with the last verse, علم الله أنكم فكلوا واشربوا حتى يتبين لكم الخيط الأبيض من الخيط الأسود من الفجر ثم أتموا الصيام إلى الليل ولا تباشروهن وأنتم عاكفون في المساجد تلك حدود الله فلا تقربوها كذلك يبين الله آياته للناس لعلهم يتقون. Then Allah said, وَلَا تَأْكُلُوا أَمْوَالَكُمْ بَيْنَكُمْ بِالْبَاطِلِ وَتُدُلُوا بِهَا إِلَى الْحُكَّامِ لِتَأْكُلُوا فَرِيقًا مِّنْ أَمْوَالِ النَّاسِ بِالْإِثْمِ وَأَنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. Do not consume the wealth of one another unjustly, and do not give bribes to those who are in position of judgment, so that you may wrongfully take control of the wealth of others while you know that this is wrong. So because it is as though to say that if you are able to abstain from what is halal, then you should be able to abstain from the haram of eating, of wrongly devouring the wealth of others. And you should be able to restrain yourself from giving bribery and corruption. So that is the essence of taqwa. Because if you are trained for a whole month to cast away, to do away with what is permissible for you, you will be able to do away with it, with what is impermissible for you. So you can see, because of this, so many people have been able to wean themselves from bad habits. There are people who were able to leave smoking on account of Ramadan. By the time they are able to take the whole month of Ramadan without smoking during the daytime, you find that at the end of the month, they are able to turn away from it. And many people, they leave bad habits as a result of Ramadan. This is a very important spiritual dimension that we should always be remembering. Have we indeed attained the taqwa that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has said is the goal of fasting? And I always say, you know, the meaning of taqwa is, I used to say it in Hausa, zaman lafiya da Allah. Zaman lafiya da Allah, live in peace with Allah. That is the meaning of taqwa. You live in peace with Allah. And if you make your scale of judgment during the month of Ramadan, am I indeed living in peace with Allah? Am I where Allah said I should be? That is the essence of taqwa. Another dimension of fasting is the purification of the soul. Because in fasting, you put the reins on your desire. You wish to eat. You wish to enjoy your eating and your drinking and your relationship with your wife, but you turn away from it. So that is a tazkiyah. That is a purification of the soul, because the soul, it is stained through ash-shahawat, through following vain desires. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Huffatun naru bish-shahawat wa huffatil jannatu bil makarih." Hellfire is covered with desires of the soul, and paradise is covered with the dislikes of the soul. The meaning of this is that when you follow your shahawat, your desires, you will continue following your desires till they take you to hellfire. Which is why Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, he says in Surah An-Nazi'at, وَنَهَا النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَى, and he prevents his soul from its desires, from the desires of the soul. Because following your desires is like you are opening the veils of hellfire, because they are the ones that cover hellfire. So when you consciously turn away from your shahawat, from your pleasures, then you are making yourself far away from hellfire. That is why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in the hadith of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, he said, "Man sama yawman fi sabilillah, ba'ada Allah baynahu wa bayna an-nar 70 kharifa." Whoever fasts on a day for the sake of Allah, on a single day for the sake of Allah, Allah will take him far away from hellfire by the distance of 70 years. Because you are turning away from ash-shahawat. And by that, you attain a position which only Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will give you the reward. That is why Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, the actions in Hadith al-Qudsi, the actions of Ibn Adam, each action he makes, each hasana, each good action is multiplied 10 times and ila ma sha Allah, except fasting. That one, it belongs to me, said by Allah. Allah said, it belongs to me, and I am the one who will give the reward for that. He said, يَدَعُ طَعَامَهُ وَشَرَابَهُ مِنْ أَجْلِي يَدَعُ طَعَامَهُ وَشَرَابَهُ وَشَهَوَتَهُ مِنْ أَجْلِي. He turns away from his food, from his drink, and from his desire, from his sexual desire, for my sake. And so Allah says, I am the one who will give him the reward. That is, there is no, you know, the reward of sabr, of perseverance, it is limitless. إِنَّمَا يُوَفَّ الصَّابِرُونَ أَجْرَهُمْ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. The ones who are perseverant, they are the ones who will be given their reward without measure. So fasting is like that. Allah, when He says, I am the one who will give him the reward, that is, there is no measure for the reward of fasting. Because of that tazkiyah that he attains, because he abstained from his shahwa. And whenever you abstain from your desires, whenever you abstain from your desires, your soul becomes purified. And when your soul becomes purified, it attains realization and knowledge of Allah, and the impact of drawing near to Allah, you feel it on account of turning away from the things that will make you to become negligent, which is shahawat. Because the nature of desire is that whenever you have a feel of one desire, you'll be looking for another one. Whenever you have a feel of one desire, you'll be looking for another one. That is the nature of human beings. Because temptations of shaitan and temptations of the corruption that is there in the mind of people, they come one after the other. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, showing us the impact of bad deeds on the heart on account of following desires, he says, when somebody commits an evil action, a black spot will cover his heart. And then when he repents, it will be cleared. And when he commits another one, another black spot will come. Till when he continues doing that, till the heart, the soul becomes completely covered with black spots. When it becomes completely covered with black spots, it becomes like a cup that is turned upside down. No good will go into it. And everything that comes into it, it will just flow downward. It will not go into it. So he reaches a point, لا يعرف معروفا ولا ينكر منكرا. He will not know what is good, nor will he reject what is bad, except what his desire wants for him. And you can see people who become so blinded by their desires. And Allah describes them. He said, أَفَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَاهَهُ هَوَاهُ وَأَضَلَّهُ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ عِلْمٍ وَخَتَمَ عَلَىٰ قَلْبِهِ وَسَمْعِهِ وَجَعَلَ عَلَىٰ بَصَرِهِ غِشَاوَةً فَمَنْ يَهْدِيهِ مِنْ بَعْدِ اللَّهِ. Have you not seen the one who made his God to be his desire? أَفَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَاهَهُ هَوَاهُ. He turned his God, his desire into his God, worshipping his desire. And Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, he caused him to stray away from the right path. And he blocked his heart, he blocked his hearing, and he put a veil over his sight. Who will lead him besides Allah? Nobody. That is the finality of this guidance. And that is what happens when you continue following your desire, because they know no bounds. Just take a simple example. You know, the person who has become so notorious in fornication, maybe he will be committing zina with lewd women, with commercial women who are doing it for commerce. And when he continues doing that, he is not satisfied. He doesn't want those commercial ones. He wants those who are not commercial. Then he will start looking for women who are chaste, who, from the way you see them, they are not engaged in that. They are the type of women that he wants. Then when he gets that, then he will start thinking of those, more useless things. He will start thinking of those who are near to him, like his neighbor's wife, his neighbor's children. And then gradually he will graduate from that. They are not enough. He will start thinking of incense. He will not enjoy zina except with those who are his near relations, the wives of his brothers, even it will go to his sisters. And that is how following shahawat and following shaitan, that is the cause. Whenever you follow your desires, it will lead, it knows no bounds. It will take you to utmost destruction. Therefore, tazkiyah is very, very important, that we are guided to put reins on our shahawat by a whole month of fasting, a whole month of training, we are achieving tazkiyah. And also, we take doing without, with the pleasures of this world, is an act of humility with Allah. You show Allah that indeed you accept what Allah has said, وَلَلْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنَ الْأُولَى وَالْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ وَأَبْقَى. The hereafter is better and is more permanent. How do you show Allah that? You show that to Allah by taking little of the world, by doing without the world, casting yourself away from the pleasures of the world. That brings you honor in the sight of Allah, because you are exemplifying that you believe in what Allah has said, that indeed the hereafter is better and more permanent than the pleasures of this world. Because in fasting, there is zuhud, there is doing without. You see the time, you enjoy lunch, you enjoy sitting and romantic talks with your wives and so on, but you have to leave that all for those hours. That is, you shun the pleasures of the world for the sake of Allah, and that brings you a position in the sight of Allah. Another spiritual dimension of fasting is sincerity. Fasting makes you to follow Allah and obey Allah, to follow the rules of Allah, and also to obey Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala with sincerity, because nobody knows whether you are fasting or you have broken your fast except Allah. So the fact that you are so conscious that you will protect your fast from the fast breaking, it shows that you really know that you are doing this for the sake of Allah, and that is ikhlas. Training in ikhlas, we need it, because ikhlas is the basis of acceptance of all acts. Allah will not accept any act except what is done sincerely for his sake. So Ramadan, fasting in Ramadan and in any other time, it teaches us ikhlas. It teaches us to do for the sake of Allah. You find somebody who maybe he is working, the type of work that he's doing, he gets himself involved with dust or with smoke, or just like some few days ago, one One Muslim lady, she is so used to incense, al-bakhur. She's so used to incense. It is part of her life. She just almost cannot avoid it. And she was asking about the position of incense. What happens to your fast when you have incense in your room? Because her room is always with incense. And she was asking regarding this. That is ikhlas, because this is something which only you know, but you want to guard your ibadah that it doesn't break. Because it is just between you and Allah. If there is no sincerity, you can just go inside your room, eat and drink, and then put some powder on your lips and come out and pretend that you are also fasting like every other person. But somebody, even alone in his room, he wants to know that his fast, is it protected or is it not protected? People are always asking, what happens when, you know, you are alone in the room and you are chatting, and when you are chatting and it happens that something comes out of your private part, what happens to your fast? You are alone in the room, your innermost secret desire, but you want to know what happens, what is between you and Allah. That is sincerity. Ramadan teaches us that, and that is a very significant spiritual dimension which only those who do the fasting along the path of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam they experience. And finally, there is also drawing near to Allah. That is a spiritual dimension. When you draw near to Allah, not physically, you draw near to Allah spiritually. It is your heart that draws near to Allah. It is your soul that draws near to Allah. And you draw near to Allah through the acts of obligation. وَمَا تَقَرَّبَ إِلَيَّ عَبْدِي بِشَيْءٍ أَحَبَّ إِلَيَّ مِمَّا افْتَرَضْتُهُ عَلَيْهِ. My slave does not come to me, does not come near to me with what is most beloved in my sight than doing what I have made obligatory upon him. It is by observing the obligations that you draw near to Allah. And then with the act of supererogation, you draw nearer and nearer. Which is why Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala made the fasting obligatory on us, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made standing up in the night a sunnah for us. And he says in one hadith, man sama ramadana imanan wa ihtisaba ghufira lahu ma taqaddama min dhanbi wa man qama ramadana imanan wa ihtisaba ghufira lahu ma taqaddama min dhanbi. Whoever fasts the month of Ramadan believing sincerely in Allah and seeking the reward of Allah, he will be forgiven what has preceded of his sins. And whoever stands up in the month of Ramadan in prayer, believing in the reward and seeking that reward, Allah will forgive for him what has gone before of his sins. So the two are joined together. And these two combined together, they are acts that draw you near to Allah. So the month of Ramadan is the time of drawing near to Allah. And drawing near to Allah has got its own excellence, because it is on account of that that you experience mercy, that only Allah knows the extent of the mercy that he will give you. Maybe on account of that mercy, you have a very serious incapacity, a very serious weakness that you are not able to wean yourself away from it. On account of that drawing near to Allah, you are weaned from that. And you, by the end of Ramadan, you just don't know how you are able to turn away from this bad habit that you had. That is a mercy of Allah. That is a demonstration of the appearance of the mercy of Allah on you, which you got on account of drawing near to Allah. And then the act of Ramadan makes you spend most of your time in the mosque. And that itself, you know, turning away and being in a place which is the most beloved places on earth, which is the mosque, because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked which are the most beloved places in the sight of Allah, and he said the mosques. So by secluding yourself, going into the mosque, you have that spiritual connection with Allah, which epitomizes during the last 10 days of Ramadan with the practice of i'tikaf, which is seclusion in the mosque, which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to do. Unfortunately, it has been done now with people, instead of secluding themselves, they don't seclude themselves, they go into the mosque with all the world that was outside, they bring it into the mosque. Instead of taking the putting the world beside and going into the mosque and forgetting about the world, they bring the world into the mosque. With their cell phones and their tablets and with all the vain talk which they are doing, and it becomes like a ceremony. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he used to do itikaf, he used to put himself in a tiny hut, a very tiny one, which shows his zuhud. A tiny hut, the covering is with a mat, a grass mat. That is what covers himself, to seclude himself. And his wives, when they wanted to do, they also put some tents in the mosque to ensure that you are really indeed secluded. I remember when we were young, we entered itikaf. Alhamdulillah, I feel very happy that I am associated with the young people that started itikaf, because itikaf was unknown here. Because I remember during the mosque, when I did itikaf for one night in the central mosque of Kano, and there was only one person who was in the mosque, and I was told that he is the one who was the only person that is doing itikaf. And by the following year, the mosque of Bayero University was with about 10 or 15 of people. There was one person, when we entered itikaf, we met him. Most of us were students from ABU here when we were in SBS. We went to do itikaf there because it was during the holiday. And this man, he was doing itikaf, we met him. And he was not talking to anyone, because he said he will not talk to anyone. So we are telling him that this, your practice of not talking to anyone, is not in the itikaf of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is bid'ah. So he accepted. And on account of that, he disturbed everybody. Everybody knew him. He disturbed everybody. When you are sitting down reciting your Quran, he will come and he will start telling you stories. So as though he's saying, you are the ones who told me to stop. But now you see, itikaf is not like that. Now all mosques, they have to make a register card, they have to turn away so many people. The mosque, they have become, itikaf has become something that is ceremonial. Before, it used to be just a few 10, 20 people in the whole mosque. But now, they come in the hundreds. So, for you to do itikaf, that will really draw you near to Allah, in the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it needs a lot of discipline. And this gives definitely a strong spiritual dimension of Ramadan. I remember one sheikh, we used to visit him after we did itikaf, and he used to tell us, he said, now that you have walked the path of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, you should wait for gifts from Allah. He used to tell us this, and it used to strengthen us so much, because he used to say, وَلَوْ أَنَّهُمْ فَعَلُوا مَا يُؤَذُونَ بِهِ لَكَانَ خَيْرًا لَهُمْ وَأَشَدَّ تَثْبِيتًا وَإِذَا لَآتَيْنَاهُمْ مِنْ لَدُنَّا أَجْرًا عَظِيمًا وَلَهَدَيْنَاهُمْ صِرَاطًا مُسْتَقِيمًا. If they had done what they were commanded to do, it would have been better for them, and it would have been more firm for their standing. who would have given them immense reward and guided them to the path, to the straight path. So whenever you revive the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, gifts come to you from Allah. He used to strengthen us to say that. He himself was not doing itikaf. He was quite old at that time. But he used to say, wait for gifts that will come to you from Allah. Because whenever you revive the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that is what happens. Then the social dimension, quickly we'll have to go through the remaining. The social dimension of fasting, fasting has got a social dimension, and one of the most important one is the empathy for the poor, showing concern for the station of the poor, because you feel what the poor feel. There are people who every day to them is a day of fasting. Every day to them is a day of fasting. You know, now they have the binary digits to describe the people of computer, 1 and 0, they get home. They said there are people who have 100, and there are those who have 010, and there are those who have 001, and there are those who have 000. You know it, go? 001, no breakfast, no lunch, but there is supper. 100, breakfast, no lunch, no supper. 010, no breakfast, lunch, no supper. 000, no breakfast, no lunch, no supper. So there are people who are throughout the year, they are like that. So when you are fasting, you remember them. And the institution of Ramadan, because of the how we are exhorted to share what we have and also to give, and we are told that every act of goodness in the month of Ramadan is multiplied, which has made Ramadan the month of zakat, because it is known during the time of the Khulafa ar-Rashidin that there is a month of zakat. Sayyidina Uthman, when he was Amir al-Mu'minin, as the hadith is reported in Al-Muwatta, Sayyidina Uthman used to say, Ja'akum shahru zakatikum, the month of your zakat has come. And Abu Ubaid, in his Kitab al-Amwal, he said, I am informed that he means by the month of your zakat, the month of Ramadan. So the month of Ramadan, it's normally many people, they give out their zakat during the month of Ramadan, and in that there is empathy for the poor. And one of the reasons why people do that is because good acts are multiplied in Ramadan. So the prayer that you make in the month of Ramadan is not like the prayer that you make outside Ramadan. The dua that you make in the month of Ramadan, the tasbih, the dhikr, the tilawatul Quran that you make in the month of Ramadan, it's not like the one that you do outside Ramadan. So that is why there is the need, there is the urge to do so many acts of goodness. Besides, in the hadith of Abu Huraira, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man aftara sa'iman kana lahu mithlu ajri." Whoever gives the break of the fast to someone who is fasting, you feed the one who is fasting to break his fast, you have the reward of the fast. So you see in several mosques, people bring in what they have to share so that they will give. Or if somebody goes with his date, he will not eat it alone, he will share with the one who is sitting with him. You know, that spirit of sharing, of being concerned with your neighbor, with your brother, that has a dimension of bringing social cohesion and the feeling that we are one. But you see some people, because of the intensity of poverty. I heard someone saying, you see people now in the month of Ramadan, they are always giving us, and now after Ramadan, they become like wolves, they become like hyenas, they don't want to even see you. But that is having bad opinion, because the essence is that spirit will follow people even after Ramadan. And we have seen, you know, last year, we had cause to, in many cycles of tafsir, there was cause to declare and pray for the well-to-do, especially last year. Last year, people spent during the month of Ramadan. So much food was distributed. People, they brought so much food, not from government, from what they have. The only thing that remains is for the traders to become soft on people, to become samhan idha ba'u, to become easy when they are selling. You know, it is surprising to see in other climes, in European cities, they do Ramadan sales. They put, they say this is the month of Ramadan, and they give special Ramadan discount. They did it in German cities last year. In British cities, they have been doing it. But from last year, in the cities of Germany, they did this. In most superstores, chain stores, they had Ramadan special discounts for Ramadan. It is this kind of thing that we need in the month of Ramadan. But unfortunately, some of our merchants, they are waiting for Ramadan so that they will make the key. Because they know that there will be high demand, so they are going to hoard so that they will bring out goods and they multiply the price, thinking that a multiplication of income will mean an increase in wealth. While what brings increase in wealth is not the abundant wealth, it is the barakah that Allah puts. It is the blessing that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala puts. So there is that social dimension that is there in Ramadan, that the love to share and to take care of neighbors, to take care of relations, to share what you have with them, to give out so much sadaqah, and to exemplify the attitude of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam of generosity. Ibn Abbas said, كَانَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ أَجْوَدَ النَّاسِ وَكَانَ أَجْوَدَ مَا يَكُونُ فِي رَمَضَانِ حِينَ يَلْقَاهُ جِبْرِيلُ فَيُدَارِسُهُ الْقُرْآنِ فَلَرَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ حِينَ يَلْقَاهُ جِبْرِيلُ أَجْوَدَ بِالْخَيْرِ مِنَ الرِّيحِ الْمُرْسَلَةِ The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was the most generous of people. He was the most generous of people. He is always in generosity, always giving. That is his character. And the most generous that he is in the month of Ramadan, when Jibreel meets him. And Jibreel used to meet him so that he will present the Quran to him. The Prophet of Allah, tabaraka wa ta'ala, when he meets Jibreel, he is more generous than the wind that brings about everything. You know the wind. Everything that the wind blows upon, it will take it and send it, isn't it? So that is how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was. Because when he met Jibreel and he presents the Quran to him, as explained by some of the ulama, the inner satisfaction, the inner pleasure that he derives from that mercy of Allah, of the Quran that Allah has given him, which he is rehearsing with Jibreel, it gives him so much satisfaction that the world and all that it is in it, it is nothing to him, and he is ready to give it out all. That is the true spirit of Ramadan, and the impact, it gives us that social impact in our society, because generosity has a tremendous social impact. It removes rancor from the hearts of people, and it facilitates social mobility. Then there is also social unity. In Ramadan, there is unity. There is social unity. That is why, according to the opinion of certain scholars, which is also a very strong opinion, it is the opinion of it is an opinion in the madhab of Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, which has strongly been supported by Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullahi alayh, from the hadith of Aisha, where she says, As-sawm yawma yusumun nas, wal-fitr yawma yuftir nas, wal-abha yawma yudhahin nas. Fasting is when people are fasting. The day of fasting is when the people are fasting. And the day of breaking the fast is when the people are breaking the fast. And the day of doing the Udhiyah, the Eid al-Kabir, is when people are doing the Eid al-Kabir. And the meaning of people, it means a congregation of people under a leadership. So you don't fast alone. That's why Ibn Taymiyyah, he says, if you see the month of Ramadan alone, you don't fast. If you see the month of Dhul Hijjah, contrary to the day that is declared to be the day of Arafah, and you go to Arafah and stand in Arafah alone, based on your sighting, which you are sure that you have seen the crescent, your Arafah is invalid. You have to stay in Arafah when people are staying in Arafah. So you have to fast when the community is fasting. So it brings together the Muslims together. You don't isolate yourself, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Al-jama'atu rahma, wal-furqatu azab." The congregation, the community, is a mercy. And going alone, away from the community, and becoming odd outside the community, that is azab, that is a punishment. So you don't isolate yourself to say that you are going to go against the tide. You follow what the leadership of the community says. This is the fasting. Because one of the functions of the wulatul umur, the people in authority, is iqamatu mawasim al-khayr. That is, they establish for them the times of their ibadat. They establish for them their hajj. They establish for them their fasting. So we have, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he guided us. He said, فَإِنْ أَصَابُوا فَلَكُمْ وَلَهُمْ وَإِنْ أَخْطَأُوا فَلَكُمْ وَعَلَيْهِمْ. If they are correct, then you have the reward of their obeying them, and they also have the reward of getting it right. But if they go wrong, فَلَكُمْ وَعَلَيْهِمْ, you have the reward of obeying them, and they bear the sin of getting it wrong when they did it because of negligence or something like that. So now that we have a leadership in our country, we have the remnants of what the jihad of Sheikh Uthman rahmatullahi alayh has left for us, of a caliphate. The remnants of the leadership is there. The Sultan, he proclaims when it is Ramadan, he proclaims when it is the end of Ramadan. We follow this hadith, and that brings about social cohesion. And that is why one of the ways of creating the fault lines in our society by breaking us and breaking our unity and weakening us is to try to create a separation between us and the leadership. You know, even some writers in the social media, they are saying that the banditry that is being witnessed in the southwest of Nigeria is on account of the Yoruba Muslims refusing to take the directives of moon sighting from the Sultan. So that is why the Muslims from the north, they unleash the bandits to go and terrorize and kill them. This is the kind of nonsense that they are spreading on the social media. And some people who claim to be champions of tribalism, they are spreading it even among the Muslims of the north, trying to create a faction between the Muslims of the north and the Muslims of the southwest, when the majority of the Muslims in the southwest, they are all one and together with the Muslim community of Nigeria. And there is also, among the social dimensions, is the strengthening of community bond. You know, whenever you join together in acts of ibadah, Allah brings love and compassion and understanding between you. It's something that is secret. Allah brings it. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he made that comment regarding keeping the rows of prayer straight and coming together. Said, لَتُصَوُّنَّ صُفُوفَكُمْ أَوْ لَيُخَالِفَنَّ اللَّهُ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِكُمْ. You should straighten your rows in prayer, or Allah will bring differences in your hearts. which means when you come together doing acts together in unison, that brings together love and cohesion. That kind of the fact that we are all fasting together, when we join together in acts of piety, it creates a bond of brotherhood, a bond of affection. How many people, on account of their staying in the mosque during the month of Ramadan, they have become like brothers and sisters. They have become so close to one another on account of the fact that what brought them together is an act of ibadah. That is also a dimension which we witness in Ramadan, especially when you break the fast together, you do the Taraweeh together. If you are even lucky to do the itikaf, you do the itikaf together. It creates that kind of bond among people, which is a very significant social dimension. And then there is also the reduction of social vices during the month of Ramadan. You know, people that are known to be drug addicts and they are the dens of drug addiction, you know, sometimes you find that during the month of Ramadan they are deserted. Even though you find that the houses of the houses where they are showing films, they also, when people finish Taraweeh, when they are coming back from Taraweeh, you see others, they are coming out from Biliardo or from places where they are showing the films. But these things, they are all reducing, because when you see, you know, when you see the people that are attending Taraweeh in their thousands, you see most of them, when you turn, especially imams, if you will notice, when you turn after assalamu alaikum, you see majority of people, you just see black, no caps. Young people, they don't wear caps even in Ramadan. So you just see them with their hair, and you just see black, which is a very important social dimension of Ramadan. And then finally, the human dimension. Human dimension, you get self-discipline, you become a better human being. It teaches you patience, because you are able to turn away from what is permissible for you. And it gives you a strong willpower that you are able to resist temptation. You are able to resist your habits. And if you have that willpower, you should be able to resist addiction. If you are addicted to a drink, if you have an addiction to something that is an intoxicant, if you are addicted to cigarettes, if you are addicted to pornography, if you are addicted to backbiting and sitting together, and always, whenever you are seen, they say, Amebo has come. Oh, you don't know Amebo. You don't know Amebo. It's our generation that know Amebo. The village headmaster. But this one they don't know. You know, she is a famous woman that is always taking stories to people. Whenever she is seen, that is, she has brought backbiting. If you have those kind of bad habits, Ramadan teaches you to turn away from them, because it gives you a strong willpower. So it makes you a better human being. And you have what they are talking about, you strengthen your emotional intelligence. And Ramadan also teaches you to be grateful to Allah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Lisa'imi farhatan." The one who fasts, he has got two periods of happiness. He is happy when he breaks his fast, when the food is brought with the intense hunger. Even a single day, when you see, you take it to be a whole meal because of the pangs of hunger. You are so happy to take a single day, you know, a single day. So that is al-farha, that is the happiness. And the other happiness is when you receive your reward. So that makes you thankful to Allah. And upon all, you become, you get barakah. The attainment of barakah. You get blessing. This blessing only Allah knows its extent. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, تَسَحَّرُوا فَإِنَّ فِي السَّحُورِ بَرَكَةً. Take suhoor, the food that you take before you start the fast. Take that food because in taking the food, because that food has got blessing. And also, as part of the meaning of this hadith, because in the act of taking the food, there is blessing. The food itself is blessed, so it will help your body spiritually and physically. And also the act of eating the food at that time has got barakah, because it is a time of barakah. It is a time of blessing. And eating at that time has got a secret that only Allah knows. This is why the ulama of Ibn Nabawi, they say that among the cures for ailments is you take water during the time of suhoor, and after reciting Fatiha in the water 7 times, you take it during the time of suhoor, it relieves you of ailments that you don't know the cause and you don't know the cure. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has described that time as a time of barakah. So you attain that barakah on account of that, and then finally, the human dimension of Siyam, of Ramadan, it gives you, it reforms you in terms of your behavior. It reforms you in terms of your behavior. You become a different person. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, فَإِذَا كَانَ يَوْمُ صَوْمِ أَحَدِكُمْ فَلَا يَرْفُثْ وَلَا يَسْخَرْ وَإِنْ سَابَّهُ أَحَدٌ أَوْ شَاتَمَهُ فَلْيَقُلْ إِنِّي صَائِمٌ. When it is the day of the fasting of one of you, he should not engage in romantic talks. He should not engage in romance, even with your wife. I don't know, to send message to your wife to say, oh darling, I miss you. Is that, can you do that during the day of Ramadan, Imam? bro. That is rapat. Anything, because the moment you say that, she'll also reply you, and then you go into a rafat. Because rafat is anything that will bring about romantic and sexual feelings. You don't do that. And that gives you self-control. Walayat hab, and he should not be shouting, talking aloud, raising your voice, whether in the market or in the mosque. You are fasting and you are speaking loudly. Oh, everyone will hear you. That is not the attitude of someone who fasts. So that is a behavioral change. You know, there are people who are like that. Fasting will clean them of that bad habit. وَإِنْ صَابَهُ أَحَدٌ. If somebody abuses him or curses him, or if somebody, curses him or abuses him, or fights with him, he should say, I am someone who is fasting. That is, he should not respond. He should not respond. Look at what is happening on the roads. You know, if you are fasting in Ramadan, there shouldn't be what we are witnessing on our roads. You know, when it is about time for iftar and people are coming back from the market, you see the junctions. Everyone is shouting and abusing, as though they have forgotten that they are supposed to be fasting. If you are able to restrain yourself, if you are able to reform yourself and not to respond to people in the offensive way that they are doing, and stop offense, will not have so much of the social vices that we are having in our society, and so much of the commotion and the troubles that we have in our roads and the fights that we are having in our society. So you can see that humanly, we are touched and we are reformed by this month of Ramadan. Now, the total of this is what will is what we hope to achieve in this madrasa, in this school, in this training field which we are entering. Consider Ramadan to be a training ground. You know, just like people in the army, they go for a training, they go to the war school, they go for they sometimes even go outside for a specific period. Consider this month of Ramadan to be that you have been sent for a training, and this training is by no other than your Creator, the Creator of the world, the Creator of the heavens and the earth. Imagine that He is the one who is molding you, who is molding your character, who is building you, who is cleansing you, who is purifying you, so that you come out as a better human being, and not only a better human being, as someone who is closer to Allah, who is more beloved in the sight of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. If you are able to consider your Ramadan like that, then you have indeed achieved. And may Allah make us among those who are the achievers. وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على عبده ورسوله نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين.